Well, greetings, everyone. Good morning. And man, isn't this a beautiful environment and location? Quite a change from locations of the past. Let me adjust this here. We always have tall song leaders and short speakers. It's good to see all of you. I try to remember names of the people in Lawton and Oklahoma City, and I haven't got them all memorized yet, but I'm still working on it. The directory really helps. Well, brethren, today is day seven, the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. My allergies kicked up last week, so I may sound a little hoarse, and I got some lemon water here. So I think I can get through this without coughing. But for the past week, we have changed and adjusted our physical eating to help picture the spiritual leaven and sin that confronts us each day. You know, we've got these symbols that God has given to us with meaning. You know, our daily routine was disturbed a little bit. You know, we couldn't eat that usual sandwich or breakfast item that we are used to having. And of course, all of this parallels the change and sacrifice that takes place when real sin in our lives is recognized and we have to go through the process of eliminating it in our lives. You know, it disturbs the routine. You've got to be different. It's not always pleasant and easy to root something out. Well, this festival involves, in one aspect, eating. You know, it involves bread. And God does use physical food in His Word to help us better understand the spiritual direction in our lives that we should go. That is, if we have eyes to see that direction. You know, today outside the church, the world is eating regular puffed up bread because they can't see yet. They can't see what we see yet, but someday they will see and will understand the importance of leaven during these days and it symbolizing sin in their lives. Just as an aside, God has given us other food instructions, like animal meats that are clean to eat, like fat and blood that we should not eat. You know, God wants His people to be clean, to be holy, to be set apart from this world. And we help reveal our holiness to the world by eating only unclean meats. Not the only purpose for those meats, but that helps to reveal the holiness that God wants to see in us. God uses food to get across spiritual lessons. You know, we belong to a holy God, and He doesn't want us to be unclean in our thoughts and our actions, and even in the food that we eat. He wants us to be clean in every aspect of our lives. He wants us to be holy and unleavened. This is what these days are all about, being holy before God, being unleavened before God. Let's review God's command to observe these days in Leviticus chapter 23. So let's turn to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6. Read a couple of verses here. We go to this chapter very often on the holy days. Chapter 23, verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days, you must, doesn't sound too optional to me, you must eat unleavened bread. Verse 7, on the first day you shall have a sacred convocation or assembly. You shall do no customary or regular work on it. You know, God's people should not be working today. You know, that's a sign of God's people. Are they working or not today? Verse 8, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. You know, and today, of course, we don't do literal sacrifices as they did, but we could apply this to offering up special prayers to God on each of those 7 days. The seventh day, which is today, shall be a holy convocation. Again, you see that word holy. You shall do no customary or regular work on it. So today is holy time to assemble and honor God. And most of us, I think, in this room, there's a lot of gray hair in this room. You know, we have honored God for many, many years, keeping these days. Yet it seems we always come away with a richer understanding of these days and what they picture. No matter how many times we observe them, we always pick up something we can take home with us. These days have value and purpose in our lives. To the world, these days are foolishness. To physically go and clean out leaven in your homes and to only eat flatbread for 7 days, now that's silliness to the world. It doesn't have any logic at all. Well, someday it won't be so foolish. You know, someday they will be cleaning out the leaven too. It's all a matter of time. You know, God has a timetable, and it's time for us now to clean out the leaven from our lives. Now, we might ask, what's the value of these days to us? What benefit is there? How does eating flatbread with no leaven make us better Christians? Or another way of asking that is with them. With them. You know, with them. I'll spell that. You write this in your notes. W-I-I-F-M. With them. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? What do these days have in it for me? Let's talk about the benefit of these days for a few minutes. I have two ways to benefits that these days can help us be spiritually closer to God. Point number one, these days help us to focus not only on sin, but on the deceptiveness of sin. The deceptiveness of sin. You know, sin can be very deceptive and hard to see. It can be well hidden in those dark little corners of our lives that we just don't always like to go to. You know, to go there in those dark little corners can be difficult because it might, our conscience might be afflicted. And it will let us know that maybe there's still a little leaven in that corner over there, that dark corner. And the only way to remove that leaven or to vacuum it out, to get that corner clean, is to change. Is to go and get it cleaned out and to become a new and different person. Sometimes we really have to take on almost a new personality to get everything cleaned out. And of course, we do this with the help of Jesus Christ. It's impossible to do it on our own. Now, some leaven is hard to see in ourselves, of course, too. It's easy maybe for other people to see it in ourselves, but it's a little hard for us to see it. Some sins take the form of, let's say, baking powder, hiding itself, you know, in a big mixing bowl of other ingredients that are otherwise good. You know, there's baking powder there in that mix, but it's hard to see, you know, it gets mixed in. It blends in there with all the other ingredients. Only the baking process reveals that there was some leavening there. When it gets puffed up, that baking process of rising, then you know there was sin there. And of course, some sin delays getting puffed up, you know, maybe for years, for years. But all sin eventually is revealed. It will not be hidden permanently. At some point, sin will be revealed. I think most of us know the basics of what sin is. Sin is a breaking or a transgression of God's law. Sin is not being subject to the law of God. It's lawlessness. And that law includes, but is not limited only to the Ten Commandments. There's other laws of God that we must observe. Our responsibility as Christians is to read and understand, you know, and get to know what the law is so we can obey it. You know, the world has a trouble of sinning and transgressing the law because they don't always know that the law is there. We have to get to know the law. That's our job as a Christian, to get to know the law, to understand it, then obey it, both in letter and spirit. You know, to do so, to obey the law, will bless us with a holy life, and we in turn will be free from leaven and sin. You know, as we strive for that perfect man, you know, every intention that we have in our lives, every thought, action, intent, needs to be in harmony with God's Spirit and His law. Yet society and this world are at conflict with God's law. You know, they want freedom from law. You know, they want freedom from being judged as being wrong. You know, it's very popular today not to to be criticized if you make a judgment on somebody in the world because, well, you know, that's just the way they are. You can't judge them as being wrong. You know, if everyone's doing it, then what's wrong with it? That becomes the established pattern, the norm of life. If everyone's doing it, you know, if Prince William and Kate can shack up and live together before being married, of which they are, then it can't be all that bad, can it? That's the way the world thinks. Well, sadly, we can all be led astray by sin. That really doesn't seem so bad, you know? That's not that bad. You know, sin can be very deceitful, very cunning. And that's no surprise because the author of sin is very cunning, very devious. Society can affect us if we let it. It will affect us if we let it. It can affect how we keep God's law and how we allow leaven in our lives. No matter how many years we've kept these days, we're not above being deceived and entangled in sin. We can allow ourselves to sin no matter what our age, no matter how many years we've been in the church. Sin can masquerade, you know, as a proper path to take. A Christian can choose this path, and really it can be a path leading to a sinful outcome. Paul makes a statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read one verse there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 concerning sin and leaven. Verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Your glorying, your boasting is not good. Now, there's a context here, and the church apparently was somewhat proud of their very forgiving and accommodating attitude toward a practicing sinner that was in their midst. You know, then Paul says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? You know, it only takes a little baking powder to make a cake rise. It only takes a little sin and a congregation to spread to other members. You know, that's the analogy Paul was making. He wasn't talking about baking. He's talking about the church and memberships and sin spreading within the church. For example, one could possibly spread a rumor in the church or a report on something that they believe is true, that they want to be, think is true, but it turns out to be false. Now, if that person had told five members, you know, and they in turn tell others, it can spread like yeast does in a cake. And, of course, all of those people that got on the tail end may never know that, wow, this is false. This is false. They may never get that clarification. You know, one person may bring a critical spirit, you know, a harsh critical spirit into the congregation that begins to infect others and causes some to even lose their faith in the work of God. I can't have anything to do with that organization. Of course, they may be too quickly believe this critical spirit. One person may bring a very inappropriate or an immodest example of fashion, you know, into the church that could offend others or that could spread to others. You know, there's all these areas we have to be careful about. A little leaven can leaven the whole lump. Our actions and words do affect others, whether good or bad. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Verse 6. Matthew 16, 6. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have taken no bread?" But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread?" You know, they were earthly, thinking carnal. They couldn't grasp spiritual concepts. Verse 11. How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood, you know, their mind was opened at that time, that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine or the teaching, you know, the example set by the Pharisees and Sadducees. The religious leaders of Christ's day, you know, had many, many shortcomings. They were swimming, you might say, in leaven, you know. And they were probably too pompous and too hypocritical to even see the condition they were in. They were a sad lot. So let's not be like the Pharisees, thinking we've got it all, you know, all knowledge. Let's seek God's help in recognizing our sins, you know, in those dark corners of our lives, our personal lives. Let's ask God help us to show the best way, to reveal those sins to us, and then the best way to change and overcome as we need to. You know, I might ask, are we afraid to bow down and ask God to reveal and clean the leaven from our lives? Are we afraid that He might actually prompt us to go after something that, oh man, that would be tough to get rid of? You know, King David wasn't afraid. You don't need to turn there, but in Psalms 51, verse 2, David pleads with God. He says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. You know, wash me from my lawlessness and my unrighteousness, and cleanse me from my sin. You know, David sought cleanness from God. But of course, prior to this, when this was written, prior to this pleading, David couldn't really see one of his major sins of life. And God had to send Nathan, the prophet, to go to David to reveal David's sin. You know, sometimes God has to reveal our sins openly, and He may use different ways to do that. He may use another person to reveal something that we need to overcome. He may use an event. Whatever. You know, God doesn't always work in logical ways. But God will ultimately reveal our sins openly. David was a man that was acquainted with sin. And he knew who his deliverer was. He knew who could make him clean again. The Apostle John spoke along these same lines in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We had never better say that we just haven't sinned in a while. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He, Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, in spite of our best efforts to physically clean out that leaven, we will always need help to become fully spiritually clean. And that leads us to point number two. Point number two, final point. These days help us realize that we can become unleavened only through Jesus Christ. We can become unleavened only through Jesus Christ, not on our own. You know, the Passover that preceded these days of unleavened bread is the event that truly makes us clean before God. Our actions don't make us clean, but the Passover lamb does. We're clean, of course. Our sins are forgiven if, and that's a big if we truly have God's calling and we've repented and changed our lives to be in harmony with His law and has done what we need to do, and there's a process there of repentance, then God has promised to forgive our sins and to make us clean. But you know, our past lawlessness is really the culprit here that needs to be dealt with. Our past lawlessness. Because now, you know, we're trying to overcome, we're obeying God's law. It's the past we've got to deal with. Paul wrote to Titus, and Titus chapter 2, verse 14 brings out this point. Titus 2, verse 14, he's speaking of Christ, who Christ gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. You know, it's our lawless deeds, the sin in our lives, that have separated us from God and actually separated the whole world from Christ. The leaven of sin has caused us to fall short. Notice in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, short of salvation, which is why we're here on these days, to help bridge the gap you know, of that shortness, to find deliverance, to eat and internalize the unleavened bread of life, Jesus Christ. He wants us here so He can unleaven us. You know, He doesn't want us out in the world eating a regular sandwich, puffed up bread. He wants us here, unleavened, so He can spiritually unleaven us. Going on in Romans 3, verse 24, it says, being justified, you know, being set right with God freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Powerful statement there. It has everything to do, really, with unleavened bread. Because our redemption from sin is freely given to us as a gift by the grace of God. By the grace of God. We're unleavened by the grace of God. You know, keeping this festival does not earn us salvation. Hope that doesn't surprise anyone. Perfectly obeying the law of God every day does not give us salvation. It's what we should do, of course. It's proper. And it's good. And it should be our desire to keep the law perfectly as much as we can every day. The law is holy and righteous, and we will be blessed if we keep it faithfully. But keeping God's law today and tomorrow only prevents sin today and tomorrow, which, of course, is good. But keeping the law today doesn't deal with the past, you see. We've got to deal with the past, and keeping the law today and tomorrow doesn't deal with the past. It doesn't deal with our old past sins. Our sins of the past have to be dealt with and erased and washed and made clean. Our perfect obedience to God today doesn't have the power to go back and erase those old sins of the past. It's only good in the present and the future. Only the Passover blood of Jesus Christ can go back and erase those old past sins. You see the importance of Passover? We can't do anything on our own to erase those old past sins, but the blood of Jesus Christ does. He and He only can make us clean and unleavened from those old past sins. You know, He died for that to happen. He died so we could be free from the penalty of sins that we've incurred in the past. And Christ did all of this out of love, as a gift. He's cleaned us up and made us truly unleavened. He's put us into a state of grace. You see, His blood wiping out those past sins then puts us into a state of grace, and we're no longer under that penalty of the law. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin, you know, Christ has rescued us from sin, forgiven our past, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit or your reward to holiness. You see, our reward is holiness before God, and the end result, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. These festival days picture us as slaves of God, not as slaves of sin any longer. We're unleavened by the grace of God. Our duty every day is to stay that way, you know, not to slip up, to not fall back into that cesspool of sin, but to keep our eyes fixed on our Redeemer and Savior. We need to keep holy the law of God and realize that obedience to it keeps us from sinning. yet the only way to fully obey is to let the unleavened bread of life live within us. It's the only way. Romans 7, verse 22. Romans 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. You know, from the heart. And I think most of us here love God's law in the heart. And we wish we could just perfectly keep it. Verse 23, but I see another law or ruling in my members, warring and fighting against the law of my mind. You know, against this law of God in my heart. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver or rescue me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, only Christ can deliver us from the leaven and death of this world. He has the desire, He has the love to save us and make us part of His family. So in closing, let's accept God's rule in our lives. Can we do that? Are you willing to let someone rule your life? Or are you too independent even for God? Let God rule our lives. Let's do our part, though, in recognizing and resisting sin and the evil of this world. Let's not be deceived by anyone or anything. And let's fully understand that we can't do this on our own. You know, the Passover lamb died to help us be victorious. He died to live again in us as spirit, to keep us clean and unleavened. So let's eat up today and digest all the messages that are yet to come. We've got several messages yet to come. This is a feast day with plenty of unleavened bread to eat.